If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I want to share with you today from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says this: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. The title of my message today is How to Live Intentionally. How to Live Intentionally. I shared this message a few years back at a men's conference that we hosted here at Harvest Church, and the Lord laid it on my heart that this is not just a message men need to hear. Of course, I think the guys probably need to hear it again. Those of us who heard it before. But I think it's a message we all need to hear. So how to live intentionally. In the 1940s, a farmer went to kill one of his chickens to make dinner. And that chicken became a piece of bizarre history. He laid, and if this seems a little gory, forgive me, but he applied the axe to the very base of the skull, wanting to preserve as much of the chicken's neck as possible. And the unusual thing was that the chicken didn't die. It lived, and those who study such things theorize that enough of its neck and spine were intact that it lived, and he became known as Mike the Headless Chicken. Anybody ever heard of Mike the Headless Chicken? And the farmer would feed him with an eyedropper, and he lived for a while. Life magazine did an article on him. Guinness Book of World Records had an entry for him. He became quite an attraction until he choked on a kernel of corn 18 months after surviving the chopping block. Imagine that. You survive the axe and you're done in by a piece of corn. Now, some of you probably think I made this up, but there's actually a website called MikeTheHeadlessChicken.org. You can look it up. You don't need to look it up right now. You can pay attention to the sermon. I know you're just very, very interested. But I mentioned Mike the Headless Chicken because I think he can describe or illustrate what takes place in many of our lives. We're alive and we're moving, but like Mike the Headless Chicken, maybe we're not moving in any particular direction. We may be active. Mike was active. You've heard about running around like a chicken with your head cut off. Well, Mike literally was the chicken with his head cut off. But like Mike, we may be active, but not productive. Verse 15 of the passage we read says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Literally, it means watch carefully or closely how you live. The word translated carefully in the original language carries the connotation of something done accurately, precisely or given close attention. Paul is saying that rather than just taking life as it comes, we are to be intentional about how we live. A man named John Carr said this. He said, most people don't lead their life, they accept their life. Living intentionally means taking responsibility for the direction of your life. I came across a video that talks about this. It's by a man named Anthony who started a company called Break the Twitch. And what Break the Twitch is about is it's about helping people resist impulses which do not line up with their goals in life, for example, or which are impulsive. For example, that impulse to pick up your phone to see if you got a message when you just laid it down about 10 seconds before. I see some knowing glances, okay? Or the impulse to buy something because it's there and it's appealing at the moment, only to find that it's something you don't really need and don't really have a use for. Again, I see some knowing glances. So he started this company called Break the Twitch, and in this video that I want to show you, he talks about or answers the question, what is intentional living? I want to show that right now.
Hey, how's it going? Anthony from BreakTheTwitch.com here. Today, I'm going to share some perspective about intentional living and what it means to me.
Break the Twitch.
So based on the broad definition of intentional living, it's any individual's attempt to live in alignment with their beliefs or core belief system. It's really quite a broad definition, and I think it can mean just about anything that you want it to mean. Essentially, if you have a certain belief, intentional living is doing your best to live that on a daily basis. Within the context of my project Break the Twitch, I see intentional living as the alignment of our short-term actions with our long-term vision. That means that on a day-to-day basis, the hours that we spend, the days that those become, the weeks and months that those days become, are all spent largely in a track that points us in the direction that we want to go with our lives. It just so happens that my mission with Break the Twitch is to help people align short-term actions with long-term vision. I think we all have a particular vision for how we want our lives to go. We want to travel, we want to be healthy. There's just certain things that we see on the horizon and we see as goals that we want to have in our lives. The problem is that our short-term actions, as in the here and the now, don't always line up with that vision. I'm pretty sure that at the turn of the new year, when we're setting our resolutions for what we want for ourselves, there are very few people that are saying, you know what, I hope to spend 341 hours on Facebook this year. Yet, the average American spends 40 minutes or more on Facebook every single day. It's those kinds of short-term actions that do not align with our intentional living goal, our vision for what we want our lives to be. Yet, we get sucked into these things, and that is what I'm talking about with Break the Twitch. The Twitch are those short-term actions that don't really line up very well with what we're actually trying to do, or the things that are fulfilling and important to us. And this is why it's so significant. It always seemed like I was never quite able to travel with family or friends, or do the bigger trips that are like the ones that require a little bit more investment in terms of the ticket price and things like that. Before I started Break the Twitch, I had a bit of a personal renaissance. I was a frequent shopper on Amazon.com. That one-click purchase button made my life really easy. I would just buy $15, $20 items, just kind of all the time. There'd be boxes coming to my house, and although I never went into debt because of it, it always seemed like I was just scraping by at the end of every single month. Boxes were coming to the house, it was exciting, it was like Christmas every day, got to open things, and then eventually those gadgets and cables and different things that I would constantly be ordering would just be forgotten. I largely don't remember any of the things that I bought over that time. One day, I had to go back and look for a specific item that I had bought, but on the website, Amazon only has 6 months of order history, so I actually had to export a PDF. A document of 4 years of my Amazon order history. and I started digging in. After some careful charting, I realized a shocking conclusion. Those $15 and $20 purchases had added up to like 8 international round-trip plane tickets worth of money that I could have spent doing something that I had always wanted to do. And all of a sudden, the concept for Break the Twitch was born. This idea that my short-term actions, that click, click, click on the one-click purchase button on Amazon, was not aligning with my true passion for traveling and visiting people and spending time with my family and friends. I would venture to ask you this. What is the long-term vision that you have for your life? What are the things that sometimes seem out of reach or a little bit harder to get to? And what are some short-term actions that you could change on a daily, hourly basis to help you reach those goals? As always, thank you so much for spending your time here with me. I appreciate you doing that, and I would love to hear from you. So if you did enjoy this video, please subscribe and you'll get notifications about my future videos on YouTube. That's it for now. I hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, I hope you caught the essence of that. Aligning your short-term actions with long-term goals and desires. Now, I want to export that into a Christian context. Here in Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul explores this concept of living intentionally in a Christian context. Now, if you believe like I do that our relationship with God is not just one aspect of our lives to be squeezed in with all the others, you know, I'll fit God in where I can, but instead that it should in fact be the very center of our lives and impact every other area of life, then we should be more intentional about our Christian life than anything else. I'll say that again. We should be more intentional about our Christian life than anything else. Amen. So this morning, I want to look at three principles that Paul gives us here in this passage for living intentionally. All right? What's the first principle? It's this. Be strategic. Seize opportunities. Be strategic and seize opportunities. In verse number 16, Paul talks about making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. John Maxwell, noted authority on leadership and personal development, says that an intentional life is deliberate, consistent, and willful. He also says that 90% of people just accept their life as it comes. Some people have good intentions but never follow through. Did you ever start something with good intentions and get all excited about it? Maybe you heard a sermon or saw a video or talked to someone who went on a particular path and you said, man, that's exciting. That's for me. And you dive right in. Maybe you buy the books. You watch the videos. You know, maybe you formulate a plan. Then you get started. And that lasts maybe a week, if you're lucky. And the enthusiasm kind of wanes. You know what I'm talking about this morning? So we start well, but we don't finish so well. Or we have intentions, you know? We're gonna get around to it. I preached a sermon one time years ago and talked about the concept of, you know, getting around to it. And a little old lady was in the church at the time, the next week, came up to me and gave me a little wooden disc. And on the disc it said, round to it. And sometimes, you know, we want to get points for our intentions, right? Sometimes we feel good about intending to do something. And we, yeah, you know, I really need to take care of this. I, yeah, I really need to get my finances in shape, or I need to get myself in shape, or I need to take care of this, or I need to be better at this. And that's as far as it goes. What's the reason for that? It's because we haven't developed a strategy. You see, when we come to Christ, we give Him our lives. He forgives us of our sin. He gives us eternal life. He gives us joy and peace and power and all the things we need in this life. But we tend to think that God does His part. We sang about the goodness of God this morning. And then our part is to go on autopilot. I don't see that in Scripture. Paul said, be very careful how you live. Watch closely. Be very intentional about how you live. Make the most of every opportunity. Opportunities are all around us. Opportunities to share our faith. Opportunities to grow in our faith. Opportunities to impact the life of someone else. Opportunities to be in a strategic place to where God can use us for His glory. But we either miss because we're not looking, or we ignore the opportunities that are around us. Why do we do that? Well, because we're focused too often on ourselves. What is convenient for us? What makes me feel good? What boosts my ego or adds to my comfort level? Keep in mind what we said, that we need to live intentionally in our Christian lives. All that Anthony said about and break the twitch about impulsive shopping and other things, man, all that's valuable insight. But even more critical is to live intentionally when it comes to our walk with God and our spiritual lives. If you're going to do something, if you're going to achieve something that matters, it's going to be difficult. It's going to take intention. It's going to take a strategy. If your finances are out of control, it's going to take a strategy to bring them under control, right? Amen. Cutting up some credit cards, doing without some things. If you want to lose weight and get in shape, it's going to take a strategy. I know, I've done it several times. Need to do it again. But it takes a strategy. God wants us, listen, and I know we've been through COVID, and I know it's still going on. I know the world's been a mess for the last year and a half. I get that. But that doesn't change the truths of God's Word. Can we just agree to that right now? God's Word doesn't change with the crisis of the times. It still applies. So we need to be strategic. We need to seize opportunities. In what areas of life, I respectfully ask, have you just been accepting things as they are, as they unfold, rather than strategizing how to go in the direction you need to? Your life as a Christian, as a husband or father, or wife or mother, as a business man or woman or an employee, as a church member, what opportunities to right the ship have you been letting go by? You waiting to get around to it? You waiting till the world is better? Guess what? The world's not going to get better. Well, I'm waiting for the right conditions. The right conditions are you're alive and you're breathing. That's about all you need to have the right conditions to be strategic. Amen? Come on, this is either true or it isn't. It's been said that the only guarantee that tomorrow will be better is that you become better today. Years ago, in our Potomac Ministry Network, that's our region of the Assemblies of God, which our church is part of, we used to have a theme every year in our network, and the theme one year was forming the future today. Our tomorrow is being formed today. Do we understand that? So if we're waiting for things to change, they won't. If we're waiting for things in our lives that are askew and out of line and out of order to get better, we're going to wait a long time. Say, Pastor Tim, what about relying on the Lord, and we can't, you know, our strength is limited. You've preached that time after time. Yes, that's all true. We can't accomplish anything. We can't change anything without the help of the Lord. But the Lord always does His part. His strength is always available. His love and His protection, His encouragement, His power is always with us. But it's a consistent theme through Scripture that God always does His part, but we have to do our part. Living intentionally. It's time that we just stop taking life as it comes, just accepting what it throws at us. I know there are many things beyond our control. I get that. I know there are things that happen to us that we haven't always anticipated, we haven't always foreseen. I get that. But we need to control what we can control. We need to seize opportunities. Is there someone you need to share the gospel with? Is there something you need to do to get your finances in order, to get relationships in order? Maybe don't wait for the person you're at odds with to come to you. Maybe go to them. Amen. Well, I don't know if they'll receive me. You don't know until you try. It's time to strategize, to seize opportunities. It's time to live our lives intentionally. First step is to be strategic by seizing opportunities. Second, Paul tells us we need to be reflective. That is to prioritize God's will for your life. He says in verse 17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The word but there is a conjunction. It separates or contrasts the one phrase with the other. What is the opposite of understanding God's will for our lives? It's foolishness. Think about that. You just see it from the construction of the sentence here. In other words, to prioritize according to our agenda, our preferences, our desires, in opposition to the will of God, Paul says, is foolishness. Do you ever think about that? If I make my agenda and my plan, you know, and move forward without considering the will of God for my life, it's foolishness. This has to do with priorities. And listen to this. A number of people might be intentional about some things, like their career, making money, acquiring possessions, living in a big house, driving the best car, being accepted in the best social circles, etc. They might be intentional about those kind of things, but they're not the least bit intentional when it comes to their spiritual life. Their family, serving in the church, and other vitally important things in life. A theme throughout this book, the book of Ephesians, a theme of Paul's is for the church as a whole and for the individual to pursue the purpose of God. We need to think of and pray about that, investigate what specific purpose or purposes God has for our lives. Did you know that you were put here for a reason? Rick Warren details that in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life. You weren't put here just to absorb resources and just to breathe. You're not in this church just to take up space and a pew on Sunday morning and make Pastor Tim feel good that there are people here. Although I do feel good when you're here. Be reflective. Prioritize God's will for your life. So many of us invest a great deal of time and energy and finances and other personal resources in things that ultimately don't matter. Someone once said, I finally reached the top of the ladder of success only to find it was leaning against the wrong wall. What are you investing your resources into in life? Time to be reflective. You know, we can become so reactive. You know what I mean by that? If you don't believe that, just look up social media. Somebody posts something that just pushes someone else's buttons, and you just see, you know, a thread longer than your arm. People fighting and arguing back and forth and calling each other names, and it gets pretty ugly. Not just on social media. You look on, you know, any news article has a comment section. You read the man, you find out what people think in a hurry. Why? Because we live in a culture, and listen, I've told you before, I'm not anti-social media or anti, you know, electronic communications. But we live in an age of instant, there's the ability to react instantly. Now, I may be the only one here who recognizes this about themselves, but I will tell you this, and you see if you can relate to this. My first emotional reaction, especially to a hot button issue, my first reaction isn't always me at my best. Can any of you relate to that? You say something and the words are still echoing in the air and you say, why did I say that? Well, it's even worse when you put it online because the whole world can see it forever and ever. You understand what I'm saying? And so that just exacerbates our tendency to be reactive. Paul is saying something quite different here. Be reflective. How reflection is different than reaction? Reaction is in the moment. You know, it's as the cliche says, putting mouth in gear before the brain is in motion, you know, something like that. But reflection is just the opposite. It's keeping this thing closed, and keeping our fingers off the keyboard to modernize it. And thinking and reflecting. God, what do you have for my life? God, what is there in my life that's crowding out what you want to bring into my life? We talk to so many people about ministry and helping out, and we've told you, we just recently restarted our kids' ministries. I'm so glad and thankful for Curtis, and my wife's played a big part in that, and the teachers and workers we have, we're thrilled. But we've done so a little bit on faith because we have a skeleton crew. My wife just sent an email out saying we don't have backups in place. We really need more people to help us with our children's ministries. If you would allow God to lay that on your heart and you can teach or you can assist, we really, really need your help. If nothing else, just to be ready to help fill in. But you know, sometimes we just have to reflect. God, what gifts do I have? God, how do you want to use me? And too often, we turn aside opportunities because I don't have time. We do that, don't we? Can I tell you something? If something is a priority, we have time. And if we don't have time, if it's really a priority, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? We make time. It's been said that in a church, that 20% of people do 80% of the work. I've seen that. That's true. It may be a lower percentage than that. Can I tell you something? It's also been said, if you want something done, ask a busy person. Can I tell you something? Those busy people, that 20% who do 80% of the work in a church, they only have 24 hours in their day, just like everybody else. But they may have different priorities than the 80%. So It's a question of prioritizing. Patrick Morley is a well-known author and leader of Christian businessmen. And his impact today can be credited to a decision he made years ago. One point, his business was starting to take off, and he was getting offers and invitations to be a part of the business community's in crowd. He said yes to every invitation that came his way, and time with his young children was kind of receding into the background. And he gave more and more attention to what he later called shallow relationships that were established for the sole purpose of financial gain. Oblivious to what was happening, his wife Patsy had a clear understanding. He said to her when the business was starting to take off, "We've arrived." And she said, "Yes, but at the wrong place." He began to realize the folly of his pursuits, and one night, as he was reviewing his bulging calendar, he thought of a way to prioritize his days. And he said this to his wife, "Why not prioritize everything we do on the basis of who's going to be crying at our funeral?" He says, "This simple question saved our family. Ask who's going to be crying at your funeral. That'll help you prioritize your time." Coach Lou Holtz said it another way: "Will it matter on my deathbed?" Paul says it this way: "Don't be foolish by not prioritizing God's will over everything else." How much of what you're intentional about in life, if anything, is in direct alignment with the will of God for your life? Are the things you're intentional about going to matter on your deathbed, at your funeral, in eternity? For the Christian, to live intentionally is to do the best of our ability, whatever is necessary, to have every area of our lives conform to the will of God. Some, or maybe all of us, need to have some quiet time with God for the express purpose of self-evaluation. We need to ask ourselves the hard questions about how we live our lives, be brutally honest with ourselves, and then take whatever corrective action is necessary. Reflect, be reflective, prioritize God's will for your life. This is intentional living. What's the third principle of intentional living? It's this: be focused. Be focused. Avoid distraction by controlling influences. Paul says on verse 18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." The word translated debauchery here means that which is unsafe, not to be recovered, lost beyond recovery, then that which is abandoned to sensuality and lust, dissoluteness, debauchery, revelry. One translation has translated that word waste. There's a contrast here in what Paul says between surrendering ourselves to something which causes us to lose control and being under the control of God's Spirit. Okay, Pastor Tim, are you going to preach now about the evils of alcohol? I don't think I need to do that. I have my own perspective on that. But I will tell you this. The word of God is clear. Drunkenness, inebriation, is always sin. The Bible's very clear about that. But there's a larger point being made here. And the point is this, that if we are to live intentionally according to God's plan for our lives, we are not to lose control, not to lose focus. Paul's larger point here is don't become distracted from intentional living. I could preach a whole sermon on distractions. Distractions. You know how when you're looking for something on the internet, you ever do this? And you happen to see on a page something else? Oh, wow, that's interesting. You click on that. And often that leads to something else. And then, you know, an hour later, what was I looking up? I forget. Come on, I'm not the only one who's done that. Distractions. You know, and it's amusing when we talk about surfing the internet, but it's unproductive in life. You see, Satan doesn't have to, cause you to renounce Christ. Turn your back on God. I mean, you know, that's happened with people, but that's not his best strategy. You know? I'm gonna get so-and-so to stop going to church. Now, that he uses that a lot. But you know what one of his best strategies is? Just to distract us. Just to cause us to give control over to something that can be a distraction. And that's Paul's point here. What are you going to focus on? In the major leagues since 1973, the American League has had something called the designated hitter. Yeah, because pitchers are usually lousy hitters. There are exceptions, but so the feeling was, hey, people don't want to come and see pitchers bat, so they have normally whoever plays in the field has to bat, but they have one designated hitter who can bat instead of the pitcher. And the National League had it last year because of COVID, and the rumors are that after this year the National League will have it too, so we won't have to watch. So, but pitchers, even now in the National League, that bat, they do batting practice a little bit, but not much. American League, they don't do it at all. Why? Because that's not what they're paid to do. That's not what they get tens of millions of dollars to do, is to go up there and try and hit, you know, and be lucky if they have a 100 batting average, which if you're not a baseball fan is terrible. What do they focus on? What do they spend the majority of their time on? Pitching! That's what they're paid to do. That's what they're evaluated on. That's what the size of their next contract is going to be determined by, how well they do at pitching. So they focus on that. What is your life focused on? If there's nobody else in the room and it's just you and God, and you had to answer that question, what is the number one focus, the driving force in your life? What would the answer be? Another question is, what is there that is distracting you from the kind of intentional living that God would have you live? What has control over you? Is it alcohol, drugs, pornography, materialism, bitterness? We can become so bitter over hurts that we've experienced in lives that it controls and colors our entire life, our relationships, our entire future. Can be off course because of bitterness over hurts. Unresolved anger, laziness, unhealthy relationships, difficult circumstances. It's been rightly said that we can't control our circumstances, but we can control our reaction to them. Intentional living says there may be difficulties in getting where I need to go. There may be delays. There may be detours, but I am not going to let anything but God's Spirit control me. Paul says, in contrast to giving control of your life over to other things, he says, be filled with the Spirit. And in the original Greek, it means be being filled. Be continually filled so that God's Spirit flows through us. And the thing is, God's Spirit, when He comes into us, He doesn't control us. It's not like we're robots and He controls us, but we willingly submit ourselves to His control. Amen. We're not robots. We are willingly submitted servants to the control of the Spirit of God in our lives. I believe that's how God wants us to live. How about you? Amen. In conclusion this morning, Maybe you're here or watching online and you feel a little bit like Mike the Headless Chicken. Busy, active, moving around a lot, but not very productive. If that's the case, I want to encourage you to follow Paul's plan for intentional living. Number one, be strategic. Seize opportunities. Determine what course of action you need to take to get whatever area of your life is off track, to get it on track. Secondly, be reflective. The opposite of being reactive. Be reflective. Lord, what is your will for my life? In the area of relationships, finances, my personal life, my thought life, in terms of being available to you for ministry. Be reflective. Prioritize God's will. Find out what areas God's will is second or third or fourth place or way on down the list. It needs to be first place. And thirdly, be focused. Avoid distraction by controlling influences. What am I allowing to control me? Maybe it's an attitude, a temper, a habit that needs to be broken, whatever it is. These things, if we allow them to, they have the ability to be controlling influences in our life. Instead, we need to be yielded to God's Spirit and submit ourselves to His control. Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise.